go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. He says, you think this is about Absalom? This isn't about Absalom. It's about me getting to know God. It's about me getting to know God a little bit better. Do you know until you're home, you're going to be learning to get to know God better. And when you get home, you're going to get to discover God more and more for eternity, and it will be an inexhaustible supply of awesomeness. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. You think this stuff is good down here? You know what I got for my birthday? I got German chocolate cake. It had three layers and thick icing in every one of the middles there. You know, as good as that is, it isn't anything compared to the neat things God has prepared for them that love Him. My glory is Him. When the bottom falls out, I reach down and I find there's a foundation underneath the floor. I'm telling you what, God is good. And He always has been and always will be. And the more that I know Him, the more that I love Him. And as I get older and my body begins to break down, I trust if I will just continue to fan the flames of the truths of His Word, and I will get the little mini epistles down in my heart, I'll be more prepared for the next thing. Because let me just tell you, there's going to be a next thing. Isn't there? There's always a next thing. And though you may have sunshine for 6 months, you'll have a day or two that just makes it seem like it all fades to ashes and there you are. But God is still there. And He is our righteousness. He's the God of our righteousness. He's the one who framed it. He's the one that made it possible. And the Bible says that these guys were trying to turn His glory into shame. He says, listen, I'm just sitting here singing to Jesus. I'm crying, but I'm singing to Jesus because He's good. This is what David did. He's writing a song when his son is trying to take over the kingdom. Think about that. He was finding God. And he says, no, God is here. God said He put away my sin. God said, and I'm good today because God said. That's what the psalmist is telling us in this epistle. That no matter how hard it may become, God is good all the time. And I am going to proclaim that from the mountaintops, even if I'm running from the throne. As my own son breaks my heart. He says, how long will you love vanity? You know what he's saying to them? He's saying, you guys are all focused on the horizontal. He's saying, you think it's about a battle between men? He says, you're looking at it the wrong way. You need to realize that though I am running out of town, he says, listen, he says, what you need to do is, he says, you need to realize that all that you're pondering right now is very horizontal. You need to get yourself thinking about what God is teaching you. Because you're in it too. You're running out of dodge too. You're being a little embarrassed too. What will God teach you? I remember years ago that our kids were small, and I remember Ryan took something. He took a candy bar or something. I don't know what it was. You know how kids are. They put them right down there for the kids to steal. What are they thinking? So he took something I had taken back in, and I told the person, give him the riot act. Make him feel really scared. You know, put the fear of God in him. And it happened to me too as a child, but Ryan was little. We walked him back in. And they said, sir, you're going to have to stay out here. And they took Ryan in all alone. And they sat him down. And they began to say, well, what do you think we ought to do? And they really did it well. You know, sometimes it doesn't work that way. And, you know, that's him, you know. But what happened to us was sometimes he's in it. That's his experience. But sometimes isn't it true that you're with somebody in your family that has embarrassed you and you stand with them? Do you know what? When we mess up, it kind of reflects on God, right? That's hard. But sometimes when we mess up, it reflects on other people around us. And that's hard for them. Sometimes it reflects on us when somebody else messes up. Right? What about America over the past 8 years? It all made us all look bad for about 8 years, right? It was embarrassing what was going on in our country.
We don't have a lot of control over it. But my point is this. These men were with David. David was the king, and he was making them all look bad. They're all on the run. He says, don't think about it that way. He says, listen, God enlarged me. He's the God of my righteousness. I'm not sweating this because God's got me. Now, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? You need to dig down and find him. You need to dig down and own him as your own personal God. That's a huge deal, you know. Nebuchadnezzar was really happy to have Daniel in his court to give him counsel about his dreams, but when the lights went out on him for 7 years and he was wandering around in an insanity in the fields, when he came to his own senses, he says, I just want you all to know the God of the Israelites is the true God, because he became his own God. And each one of us has to have him as our very own. And he says, how long will you love vanity? How long will you seek after leasing? The word leasing is the idea of lying. Why is it that you'll just keep saying, well, it's not that, it's this. It's not that, it's this. It's not that, it's this. Listen, it is always about God. Always. If you have a bad situation, God is in the details. If I were to put a heading over the first section here, it's that there's mercy in God's message. You need to remember that. But there's also meaning in the messes of life. Did you know that? No matter what's going on, there's meaning in the messes. He says, we're running out of town. It doesn't look good on the outside. But don't put the lie to it. Don't act like it's something else. It's not something else. God is working on me. God is working on you. We're all in the crucible. And we're all being tuned up to be more like Jesus. The Bible says, whom he foreknew. You know what that means? That means he looked down through the corridors of time. He said, this person will believe in me. He whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We are truly his children. He has a goal in mind. He wants us to be like Jesus. What was Jesus like? Well, we just found out a little bit. He's the God of my righteousness and he's merciful. He enlarges me. And we need to turn around and help each other by having mercy to one another. We need to turn around to each other and enlarge everybody else's room around them. Help them to know another promise. Help them to know how we're navigating. David says, here's what I'm doing and I want you to do it too. I'm enlarging you by telling you this is what God has done for me. And when he comes down to it, he says, don't seek after lies. Don't think it's all temporal. It isn't temporal. Everything that happens to the believer has eternal impact and eternal consequence and eternal ends in mind. He says, don't seek after lying. In verse 3, he says, but know. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. There is nothing that can come into your life that God does not allow. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all. Who can know it? But it goes on to say God tests the hearts of men and tries their reins. Why? Because he wants us to see what's in us. What is in you today? Can you honestly say, I know what's in me? Because the Bible says no man can know it, but God knows, and he tests us to bring out of us what's in us. What is it I demand of God? Don't demand of God anything. Just ask of God, beg of God, please show me the mercy I have known you to show. Help me through this and help me not to turn dark in the dark times and the hard times. Because there will be dark times, there will be hard times. And there's always a meaning in the messes. As hard as that is, everything around us is shadows. God is the light and God is good. And there's something good on the other side of every mess because God can be trusted. That's what David learned. He says, know this. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The word for godly here is an interesting word. It actually has the idea of being kind. It has the idea of being merciful. He puts aside the kind and the merciful for himself. It's used for the word holy. So he puts away the holy person to himself. Do you know, holiness is really buoyancy. Holiness is really kindness. Holiness is really mercy. It's a tear. It's a hug. It's an acceptance. Because that's what God is. He's holy and he gives that condescension to us when he goes to the cross. When he dies there and when he bears our sins and when he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's holiness. And sometimes we absorb it, you know. To take someone into our circle and absorb what they've done. You know, when you forgive somebody, basically you're being very Christ-like. Why? Because, you know what Jesus did? Didn't He absorb the consequences of our sin? And when you forgive somebody, you're saying, I'm absorbing it. I'm absorbing it. I'll take that. And you do that, and you love, you're holy, you're kind, you're merciful. David says, I'm not mad at Absalom. My heart breaks for him, but I'm not mad at him. It breaks my heart that maybe I set this thing in motion, but my heart breaks because I feel it. He says, God has set apart him that is godly for himself. He says, and the Lord will hear when I call. Know this, God will hear. When you call, God will hear. No matter what you're going through, God will hear. You know, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. You know why? Because you're not praying. Not because He can't hear you. When we regard iniquity, David said, when I was silent, my bones waxed old. You see, we don't pray when we've got sin going on. We just like, it's hard to get real honest with God. So we have to get back to that place of quiet rest, near to the heart of God. He says, know this. God has set him apart that is godly. He will hear when I call. He says, what you need to do in verse 4 is you need to stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe is the idea of trembling. The Apostle Paul picks it up and he says, be angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil. And he's quoting this passage. But the idea of anger is there, but it's also the idea of trembling, the idea of vacillating back and forth. What should we do? What should we do? These soldiers wanted to go fight. They wanted to go face to face in fisticuffs with the man who was the interloper and the man who would be king in place of their king, David. He says, you need to stop with all your own ideas about what's going on here. He says, what you need to do is you need to commune with your own heart. What? Commune with your own heart upon your bed. What is it that you would find if, you know, you reacted to the circumstances by communing with your own heart on your own bed? He says, be still, literally be silent. When he says stand in awe, the idea is allow it to astonish you. Allow it to overwhelm you. The idea is, yes, you can be angry at what consequences sin has sometimes, but also it's the idea of trembling. Trembling in the idea that you might get it wrong. Trembling in the idea that you might fumble the ball at this critical juncture. Do you know that when things hit the fan in your life, that you have choices to make, and if you make them rashly, you can aggravate your circumstance and make it worse? Right? I heard years ago, if you're in quicksand, the last thing you need to do is struggle because you'll go down quicker. That's what we always heard. Now, I don't know about all that, but if it be true, that's kind of what it's like with us. If we react in a very horizontal level to our circumstances, we may find ourselves going down faster, exacerbating our guilt and our situation. We may thrash. We may hurt people around us for having reacted wrongly. As I get older, I begin to realize when people are ornery and mean to me, I have come to realize that oftentimes, more often than not, I should say, the people maybe have had some really bad things going on in their world by the time they were biting. Have you ever found that to be true? You know, they got to bit you and come to something, oh, man, I'm so sorry. You know, I just lost my job, or, you know, my wife and I, we're not getting along, or one of my children is sick, or I just got a bad diagnosis. And you're like, whoa, you know, and all you wanted to do was, you know, react. But you don't react. You commune with your own heart. What's God teaching me? Mercy. Kindness. Oh, wish it was more naturally there. Kindness and mercy. And I can say to you today that ancient words ever true are changing me. I hope they're changing you. Because I'm getting more. And I'm beginning to learn more. But David says, this is what you guys need to learn. You're my soldiers, yes, but you need to commune on your own heart, on your bed, because just as He is my God, He's your God too, and you need to draw down on Him.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.